Tommy, you'd think guys would want to push this responsibility off on someone else.
Yeah.
Right? Less work, less mm-hmm. money spent, less of a headache with work the next day.
Yeah.
But for some reason, men have pride in this. There's a comfort in knowing it's your house.
Home base.
And it leads to some uncomfortable situations when plans get changed and folks decide they're better off not there.
Mm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we talked yesterday about how Sunday's Super Bowl, Tommy, is the least anticipated of the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's tanking.
Ticket prices have dropped 50%.
Damn.
In 7 days. You can buy below face value Super Bowl tickets. And outside of the cities of Philadelphia and Kansas City, nobody's excited.
Yeah.
But the saving grace of a crappy game can be a good Super Bowl
party.
Oh,
sure.
And that's where the story starts.
What up?
Tommy, I've always had my siblings over for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, since I bought my house, over a decade. My wife likes to host.
Yeah.
We have fun.
Yeah.
So I just assumed this year that everyone was coming over. My
right.
sisters, my brother, all their kids, their spouses. So I send out the text a couple of days ago. I go, hey, you know, you want to get here at this time?
Yeah.
You know, da, da, da. And I was shocked.
Whatever.
When my brother Ryan responded.
What do you say?
He can't make it.
Why can't he make it?
Well, that's just it. What else is going on in the Super Bowl? It turns out my brother Ryan, who just bought a new house, is hosting his own Super Bowl
party.
But
that makes sense. He's got his own joint now.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
He doesn't need you anymore.
So I was just being used.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody was using you because you had the nice house. Now he got a nice house. He don't need you anymore.
It's kind of like a house standoff, a man cave standoff.
It's a cave standoff.
Yeah,
what
it's
it
a
is.
Cave standoff.
It's a cave off.
Because your brother has kind of a setup. Like
he doesn't know my
now,
not
right?
even, no, not even close to me.
Oh, I
but
thought he.
That's
okay. Right.
Bro, I mean, we're going to talk truth. We're going to talk
right.
truth.
Oh, man.
Well, no, I mean, my cave setup is way better.
Well,
here we go.
Okay.
All right.
But here's the thing. Not only is my brother not coming to my house for this party, I didn't even get an invite to his party.
He just said I'm not coming.
Yes, he just said
have
I'm not
fun.
Coming. Not that I would go, because our party is going to be way better than whatever crap he's got planned.
Yeah.
But I am deeply offended, not by not being invited. I want the party at my house.
Every guy does.
Okay.
No guy likes going to anybody else's house. They just don't.
Okay.
Every guy, as soon as you're at somebody else's house, you can't wait to get back home.
Mm-hmm. I think that's specific, though, for the Super Bowl party. Because I don't want to.
I think it's everything with a guy.
I don't want to do Thanksgiving at my house. I don't want to do Christmas. I don't want to do any of that.
But you
stuff.
Also don't want to. Yeah. You'd rather just not do Thanksgiving. Rather just not do it.
Yes, but if I had to choose, I'd rather go to someone else's place.
I was going to say, most of the time, I'm guessing you aren't signing up to host, or you'd rather not sign up to host.
But the Super Bowl I want at my house. And Kimmy, you said this is something you've seen since you were a child.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember as a kid, like my dad would get together with a bunch of his buddies. Most of them lived in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so they would rotate during the season, like whose house they watched it at. But I do remember, like, come Super Bowl time, there was always like a battle of who's going to host the big game at their house.
Yeah.
Because, like all the families were going, all the kids were coming, and it always seemed like, you know, it kind of came down to like who wanted to sit in their normal chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I want my recliner.
You want your ass
I want to be comfy. This is a big game, and I want to be at my house.
Mm-hmm. No, you nailed it, right? Yes, I want to be able to watch this game in the comfort of the seat my ass is accustomed to. I don't want to be sitting on some wood kitchen table chair that you had to spin around because you have too many people in your house. It's my house. My house. So what is it about the Super Bowl? Is it the standard, like, guy macho football?
Of course it is.
Okay.
And who's got the better setup and who wants to show off their new thing?
But I'm not showing off. Nothing's new. I mean, everyone's seen
it. You just...
It was like a year and a half ago.
You just said you had a better man cave than your brother.
Oh, no. I mean, it's better.
That's showing off.
It's better. Of course it's better.
It also came down to... Oh, go ahead.
You don't want to lower yourself to go into your brother's less than.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... Yeah.
So that makes you a dick.
No, it makes me every guy right now fighting for a Super Bowl party. 252 WCMF, are you fighting for the party? Would you be offended if somebody that normally comes to your house decides, I'm going to have my own party? I don't even want to be invited. I don't want to be invited to your house. You didn't come. You're not coming. Screw you, you dick. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I also remember it came down to who had the better kids setup. Because if you had like a finished basement or an area where the kids could go hang out by themselves so the adults could like have their own space and their own separate party going on, like that was also a factor in who got to host.
Okay, that's a good call. That's a good call. But I do feel like now the Super Bowl is such a multimedia experience.
Yeah, there's something for everybody. during the show.
Yeah, like my kids and my nieces and nephews usually sit and watch the whole game.
Really?
Even the younger ones.
I remember we didn't care about the Super Bowl. We just wanted to run around and, you know,
but now you've
play
got
with our friends.
There's so many side stories.
Yeah.
Entertainers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't forget, the first real halftime show that we're accustomed to in the NFL was in the Bills' third Super Bowl, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, exactly. Like, you have so much stuff going on now. I think it is entertaining, unless I'm wrong and I'm just oblivious. All right. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, if you're hosting your Super Bowl party, how many people is too many people at your party?
Too many?
How many? Because if my brother and his family would have come, we'd have 16 people
in
my
house.
That's
a lot.
That's too many?
That's way too much.
Why?
It's too chaotic.
No, it's fun.
No house has that kind of room. Like, you're just on top of each other. It's going to be loud, and y'all are loud.
What?
You're the loud goddamn family.
The more people, the more food variety you're getting, though, too.
Bingo, bango.
Yeah, but you're also fighting for food.
Well, with my family specifically, yes.
Hey, nobody wants that busted-ass relish tray.
Bro, cauliflower, is it cooked? Nope. Here, go ahead, chew right into there. Did you lose a tooth? It looks like the cauliflower. Totally fine. Who decided raw cauliflower was a good idea?
I love that stuff.
That's always the last veggie left on the tray.
Hey, it looks like my brain. Tastes like ass.
It goes good with Greek yogurt dip.
You didn't even spring for the ranch?
No, it's too fatty.
Is it hard to carry the Greek yogurt dip into the house while you're wearing your wife's panties? I mean, no, I argue the more people that are at the party, the better, because folks eventually break off into their little parties, even in the room, because you got the game watchers, you got the chatters.
But then it's all that cleanup and all that crap. Like, to me, maximum party, max 8 people.
8 for a Super Bowl?
That's everybody.
That does not exist.
Wait, including you and your wife?
Oh, yeah, 8.
So you're
not a party, then.
It is a party.
That's just a, hey, you want to come over and watch the game.
Well, that's what this is.
Small get-together. No, Super Bowl parties, it's its own entity.
First of all, says woman who never invites anybody over.
Oh, good point.
Well,
when's the last time you cleaned up a party at your house? I could tell you, 0.
How do you know?
Got a brand new bar.
How do you know?
Huh?
Maybe you're just not invited.
Why don't you invite us to your house? Invite us to your house!
You want to come over for a Super Bowl party?
They got
Oh, wait, Pat can't.
I invited you to my Super Bowl party!
She's a goer. She ain't a doer.
No, she don't go. I've invited her to my place so many times.
Oh, she's going to go to a party. Just not ours.
What the hell?
Yours? Where are you going? You guys are both having a party?
Maybe.
No, you're not. You're going to be in bed by 9:30.
Oh, 9:30? That late?
You coming to my Super Bowl party?
I have not seen my husband in 2 days.
I have asked Kimmy twice now. Just trying to plan.
I keep forgetting.
Why don't you text him now?
I can text him.
No, just text him now. Let's find out.
The only problem with a party at your house is it's so goddamn far out.
It is.
I don't want to. You can't drink or anything. I can't drive home.
Well, how about your house is far out from my house? How about that?
You've been to my house, man.
Yeah, no, it's far out.
He's out there in like Henrietta Island.
Henrietta Island? One of the worst Nicktoon shows from the early 90s. 252-WCMF, we're talking about hosting the Super Bowl party and guys fighting for it. All right, let's talk about that. How far are you willing to travel to watch the game? Because you're right. The further you go, the more you have to worry about getting home.
I ain't.
And the kids got to go the next day.
So actually, my kids have off the next day for some reason. I don't know why.
No, are you thinking of the next week?
No, I'm telling you, I thought
Wait,
so too.
Monday
really?
They're off?
My kids have the day off.
It's a holy day?
What's the day?
I think there is a holy day because it was great going to Catholic school because we got the day after the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Will you Google what holy day it is on Monday? Thank you. Feast of the, my head hurts so I'm not coming in. No, I mean, but Kimmy's scenario that she paints earlier with her dad in the neighborhood, that's the best case because if it's at a neighbor's house.
Oh, you can walk.
Stumble home, man.
Yeah.
Like, I had the same thing when I was a kid. The neighborhood Super Bowl party was a big deal, although the Morganti family was always the one that hosted it.
Mm.
And there were dozens of people at this guy's house. Like, we were shoulder to shoulder packed in. It doesn't seem that the neighborhood Super Bowl party happens anymore. Kimmy, how did we get away from that?
Because we don't talk to our neighbors anymore.
Oh, here comes old
we
man.
We don't.
And don't even get me started about the water
department.
Nobody
socializes.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is it because, like, our parents and the people that they lived in the neighborhood with were kind of, like, the first people to live in a lot of those neighborhoods?
What do you mean by that?
So, like, they maybe all built those houses or all moved in around the same time.
Okay.
Now I feel like there's so many people in and out where, like, the chances that everybody is around the same age with the same aged kids is a little bit more unlikely now.
Yeah look at the neighborhood now with these, like, isolated loners with these empty porches that they never decorate. They never come outside just to walk their dog. Then they go back inside. They let their husband talk. They go back in.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, though, in my neighborhood, like, the ages vary so much that, like...
Kimmy the Dark Witch.
The Dark Witch.
Was that a Wicked related?
I don't know. I think so.
Hey, good for you, man. Way to stay plugged in.
Not open. Go away.
Pulled him back from the George Brett reference this morning. Kimmy, what's a holy day on Monday?
I can't find it. February 9th? I can't find... It just says National Pizza Day.
Oh, maybe that's what they're off for. Our Lady of Pepperoni.
Wait, Pizza Day is a day after the Super Bowl?
Great call on that one.
Who picked that?
Well, maybe they just do it by day. Like, it just happened that February 9th
was
National
Pizza Day. I'm not finding, like, what
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, Teacher Conference Day. I don't know. It says off on the calendar. Maybe my 14-year-old just wrote school off and we just went with it. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Mike writes, I want the Super Bowl at my house so I don't get dragged away by my wife when she says it's too late for the kids to be up. Just send them to bed and I'll keep watching the game. That's a good call on his part. Is the Super Bowl enough of a, national holiday where the kids can stay up for the whole thing?
Yes, but I mean, if the Bills aren't in it, I can't imagine them paying attention that long.
I mean, I loved football as a kid. But again, it's such an event.
Yeah, well, I think the kids are just...
But after the halftime show, that's it.
I don't know.
If it's a blowout after the halftime, who's sticking around for that fourth quarter?
When's the last time we had...
stay until the end.
Yeah. When's the last time we had a Super Bowl blowout, though? It's been forever.
Yeah, but it could happen.
Okay, right? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they used to all be blowouts.
And then they're not because the NFL made the league competitive again.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, Kimmy, I wouldn't judge a parent for letting their kids stay up till 11 to watch the game, would you?
No, I kind of think it's just one of those days you let it go, right? You're like, this is what we're doing tonight.
Because you don't want to deal.
It's going to be a late night. Unless you have like little ones that are going to get cranky.
You know you have buzzed.
I'll tell you what I'm more worried about with the kids.
What?
Because there's so much like junk food laying around.
Oh, the candy?
Somebody puking.
The amount of stuffing.
Yeah.
A lot of stuffing.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, kids running around.
And you ain't watching.
Yeah, I would be. That's why.
Go ahead.
After you.
I was going to say, the more people you have at your house, especially the more kids, the chances of you having to be on unclogging toilet duty.
Oh, God.
It's through the roof.
Well, I mean, now that my brother's not coming, I don't have to worry about that.
Like, I remember you had to tell on the kid that, like, didn't flush the toilet.
Oh, God. Oh.
You didn't tell on him.
Well, you know, if you were waiting there and...
What a monster. Just flush it. Why would you do that?
No, but you got to see
like
that.
If they couldn't flush it, you know what I mean?
Oh, couldn't flush a toilet, I see.
Because something, they put a little bit too much toilet paper in there.
That poor kid. That sticks with them for the rest of their lives.
Well,
did you get out a wipe
properly? You'd have to go get an adult. Somebody clogged the toilet and it wasn't me.
You absolutely told him. You're a narc. You absolutely told him who it was. Let me tell you, you're taking pictures as he's walking out. They're black and white. There's like 50 of them. You're like laying them out. There he is right there. All right, let's take a break. Neighbor trouble's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
It's a fact of life.
It's people.
That being said, there is a difference between an argument with someone you live next to and what we're going to talk about here.
What happened?
Because an awkward daily interaction with your neighbor is not fun.
No.
But it's a hell of a lot better than doing something that will, without question, get the cops called on you. You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. You know where we haven't been in a while? Wheatland.
Oh, Wheatland. What's going on in Wheatland?
Well, that's where authorities say they got a call for some neighbor trouble. When police got to the residence, they observed a 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee with the entire driver's side of the car covered in white spray paint, including parts of the windshield.
Like it was written or just completely
just like spray coated. Painted. Yeah, coated. Spray painted. Okay. I don't know if the whole thing was, but they got spray painted. Right. That's bad.
Not like dirty words.
No. It just looks like it was painted.
All right.
Now, that's bad.
Mm?
But that's not all.
Yeah.
Because on top of the painting, authorities say someone also threw eggs at the car.
Oh, man. Double
whammy.
Why? Yeah, you'd think like, the spray paint would be enough.
Great point.
That's a $45,000 hit job.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know what the issue was between the neighbors that would cause this kind of...
So they know it was a neighbor.
Yes, they're aware of it as a neighbor, but we don't know what. And in fact, to be fair... according to the story, they don't have enough right now to arrest the neighbor because it says the investigation is ongoing, which has created a bit of a situation in the neighborhood. Okay, what?
This is so weird because like that kind of like spray paint egg, it's going to leave a trail.
Okay.
There's just no way you can walk away from that clean. There's going to be a footprint heading back to your house.
Okay, not wrong.
You know what I mean?
Not wrong.
There's going to be that OJ moment.
Well, the person's still at large. Right. They have yet to be arrested. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
If we look at the evidence we have in front of us, there is one of two explanations for this story. A, some neighbor, after however long being in a feud with this person, finally snapped and did all this stuff to their car. Or B, this is a case of some punk-ass kids being dicks, and the owner of the car is ready to blame the neighbor for all the previous issues that had happened. And if it's the second one, this story may be a lesson for all of us.
Okay.
If you have neighbor beef, you need to today go and squash it.
Okay.
Because if anything happens to that person's home, property, some weird thing you can't explain, yo ass is the one that's getting blamed for
it. Well, you're suspect number one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? A person of interest, as they say.
And here's the thing. Even if there is another explanation, folks get very petty when it comes to neighborhood fights.
Yes, they do.
They could ignore obvious clues because they are so blinded with rage with you, they want you to pay.
Yeah.
For the sake of your time, your sanity, a potential false arrest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe today's the day you go shut down that neighbor's spat.
Go talk to him?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, but then you would have to admit I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because you can't walk over and go, hey, let's settle this.
I demand an apology.
Right, yeah, that's not going to work. So you would have to be the bigger person, even though if you think you're right, you'd have to go over there and take the bullet.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF. There is a way this could play out where nobody has to admit wrong and everybody wins.
How's that work?
I mean, you could go knock on the door, be the bigger person.
Hey.
Hey, listen, you know, we've been through some stuff. I hate fighting with you like this. I like having you as a neighbor. Are we cool? And if the person goes, yes, it's done.
Yeah. What if that person doesn't know you have beef?
Well, no, I mean, it would have to be, well, no, because that person would have to know you have beef to be accused.
No, but I'm saying, like, you think they don't like you, or you think they've had a problem with you based on, like, I don't know, they don't wave at you or something, and it turns out that they actually had no idea there was this tension in the first place.
Okay, well, way to make it more complicated, Kimmy.
But now you just reveal,
I don't see
you
that.
You have to be very sure.
I mean, in a beautiful world, that sounds great. I don't see it working realistically.
Why?
How people are, because everybody thinks they're right and digs in their heels. So, like, if you're walking over, like, then I'm thinking, oh, you're trying to be the bigger person now. Look at this. Look at this.
But that person could
he treated me. Now he's going to walk over there and go, let's make friends.
But that person could also see it as this is them admitting they were wrong without admitting they were wrong. I won. Honey, okay, look, I told you.
I don't see it. I mean, you may have a shot at that. I don't see it.
I don't know how it couldn't work.
I don't preach it in my house. I don't understand it.
I get you would. There are those moments where somebody does something that's so out of the ordinary that you are so taken aback, you can't help but be like, yeah, of course we're fine. And then all it's right. over.
Okay. I always figure people like that probably don't fight that much anyway.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
Understood. But maybe you're not that person. I guess what I'm getting at is with this story, if it were some dick kids and now some neighbor is going to pay for what they didn't actually do, what's worse? Having to swallow your pride or having to deal with the police coming and talking to you four times because they're spray painting eggs?
To prove your innocence.
Right. Yeah.
It should work. You would think that if you went to that person's house sincerely, like wanting to fix things, admit faults, whatever, that person would automatically accept what you bring into the table. That may not be the case because that could be somebody that you're a little bit scared of. You don't, you know, they could be a loose cannon.
Okay.
Like,
it's always one of those in a neighborhood.
I could see the hesitation of doing this, even if you go into it with the best intentions, but that, you know, I don't really want to mess with that person. I want as little interaction with that person as possible.
And she's right, because I'll avoid that person, and I've never met him, but I just know from, like, the rumors in the neighborhood, I will avoid that person.
I think it's a smart move.
No,
everybody does that.
No, but his rumor, you know, what his opinion of a loose cannon is different. You know what? We know what a loose cannon is. He left his wheelbarrow upside down in his yard.
That's a sign of international distress.
252-WCMF. Talk about the story that happened out in Wheatland. Authorities got a call for reported neighbor trouble. They got to a residence, observed a Jeep Grand Cherokee, the entire driver's side covered in white spray paint, including parts of the windshield. On top of that, police say someone threw eggs at the car as well. There has been no arrest made, despite the fact that this is identified as neighbor trouble in the story.
Yeah.
And look, if you have beef with a neighbor, you squash it now, because it's possible these were dick kids doing something.
It could have been.
And this victim decided it was the neighbor, and now you got yourself a serious trouble. Because let's say in this specific story,
go ahead.
The neighbor did not do this.
Yeah.
Somebody else did.
He's innocent.
All you can say is, I didn't do it. It's your word against your neighbor's.
Yeah.
And at the very least, you are being interviewed by cops. And think about this. If a simple cops coming knocking on your door and asking you about this, all the rest of your neighbors are going to make a decision as to whether or not you did it. And if they could see the spray paint and they could see the eggs and they know that you have a problem with this neighbor and they see the cops on your front door, everybody will think you did this.
Yeah. I mean, unless they go to a couple different neighbors, but if I'm the only one they go to.
Well, I mean, if you've got a problem with every neighbor, that guy's the one that's the idiot.
That's true.
I mean, look, man, we know how people treat stories that just have accused in it when we talk about them, right? They assume that everyone that gets arrested is guilty. Now, you've got the police at your front door and eggs and spray paint over here. You're going to have beef with everyone in the neighborhood.
Yeah, so you're part of Jeep Gate, I guess. Basically.
Yeah, Jeep Gate.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up everyone in the neighborhood. What if you going to apologize to that person or try to make things right with that person starts a beef with somebody else? Because look at him. What a traitor. We were all against that guy, and they just went and shook hands, and now he's cool with them.
What is going on in your guys' neighborhoods where these things pop in your head?
But it's just regular neighborhoods.
But we talk about how, like, you know, when there is...
No, hold on. Quote, Zimbiga, regular neighborhoods. Oh, I forgot. I thought we were done doing our Dylan impression.
I tell you, like, my neighborhood is quite as... there's some crazy...
There's division, there's, right?
But
there's...
I've come in and told you some stories, and I live in a very old, lame-ass neighborhood.
Well, you're old and lame.
Right. Yeah. But I still have some crazy-ass stories I've... Recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legit.
Okay.
You know, like, sheriffs and stuff.
Yeah, no, I got
you've had, like, issues just over toters, as you call them.
I know. But, like, my neighborhood is too old for the sheriffs. But they still show up because there's problems.
Okay.
So I avoid those people.
Okay, no, good idea. So if something like this happens, you can now be looked at as the guilty party in your neighborhood, even if you did nothing wrong. I'm talking about thinking down the road here, man.
Aren't you afraid to associate with the person in your neighborhood that you know has the reputation of being a little out there,
oh, yes,
crazy?
Yes.
Because now that guy could be buddy-buddy with you, and you don't really want that either.
That's why I don't cozy.
You can find a way to keep him at arm's length with keeping things okay. I don't understand this idea with you two that you either have to be best friends with somebody or hate them.
But that may not be your decision anymore.
I'll give a guy what I call the two-yard wave.
What's the two-yard wave?
2 yards away, I wave.
Okay.
That's it. It's as close as I get.
But here's the problem.
And it's only if we make eye contact.
But what if he wants to chat? Can't walk away.
No, that's why we're 2 yards away.
No, if he starts coming over, you're too much
of a
puss.
I grab the phone.
My ass.
Sell.
See, he's dumb enough to not realize he could see the clock lit up on the inside
using my fingers.
So going back to the story, there is a potential other side to this.
What's that?
That the victim is right in their suspicions. And that the neighbor actually spray painted
and
egged their car. Tommy, is there a thing in your opinion that this victim could have done to a neighbor where you would understand why the person would have spray painted and egged their car?
No. I mean, that's so much work involved. Like, and you would have to be so stealth, right? It had to happen overnight.
Well, they didn't get caught.
Right, because obviously the Jeep hasn't been moved.
Yeah.
Like, to justify that. I can't. You look insane.
I mean...
And you wasted all that. What year is the Jeep?
2014.
So I feel bad for that guy because it's an older model Jeep.
Sure.
What do you do with it? Like if it's ruined?
Yeah. Well, you drive around a car with spray paint on it, I guess. You replace the windshield and keep driving. Well, what are you going to do?
Right. That sucks.
Now you got racing stripes on one side of your car.
Kinda.
Because here's the thing. Like with what allegedly happened here, if it is a neighbor who did it...
Yeah.
You were in that weird zone where you were so furious that you went and did this, but not furious enough to call the cops and get that kind of revenge on your neighbor. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's rarefied air where you're at. But you took enough of a step where your neighbor is absolutely going to call the cops on you for what you did. Like, outside of a woman carving cheater into someone's hood, everyone is calling the cops if their car is vandalized. And I guess what I'm asking is what kind of psycho in a neighborhood didn't think that through when they decided this was the best idea?
Yeah.
Like, you are going to be in so much trouble. And it goes further.
What's that?
Well, this wouldn't be like a split decision.
Yeah.
Like throwing a punch.
Some props.
Kimmy, you would have to locate spray paint and eggs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would have to wait for a time when your neighbor wasn't around.
You got to go at night.
Without being caught, you would have to commit the act. And at no point in those series of events did any part of your brain ask, hey, what the hell are you doing here?
Do I look crazy?
Like, is there a Ring cam around?
It's possible. Apparently not, because they haven't been caught.
Right.
But it's possible that this person went to the grocery store to get eggs.
That's, what, $75?
There you go. But solely to throw at this person's car.
Yes.
And on the ride to Wegmans, getting out of the car, walking through Wegmans, purchasing the eggs, walking through the self-checkout, which I assume they're trying to save time, leaving, driving home, and then putting the eggs in the refrigerator or leaving them out for extra stench. Not at one of those moments did they go, what are you doing?
Well, and if you had to go buy the spray paint, that's
it's very premeditated.
That's two stops. You can't get eggs and spray paint in the same place.
Walmart.
Okay.
Maybe Walmart. Probably Target, too. That's two places.
It was Wheatland, right?
Wheatland.
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 Wheatland. Did you just call it Wheatland?
Well, technically.
Yeah, Wheatland.
Wheatland.
Yeah.
Oh, Wheatland.
You go into Newfoundland, too, after this?
Oh, I'm not driving way up there.
How about Charlotte?
Again, it's too far south.
Wheatland. How long have you lived in this town? 30 years.
It's called Wheatland.
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 Wheatland. Wheatland.
Well, if you want to slur it, I do the King's English.
Every you just slurred trying to say that, not on purpose. It wasn't even a joke.
English.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
Anything Rochester on television outside of local TV,
yeah,
people are going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched the most terrible tragedies we know inside details about be focused on, you know, 48 Hours or Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
And we get excited about it.
Yes.
So that would lead us to believe that this, which is focusing on a Rochester institution, will be watched by thousands of Rochesterans.
The hell is it?
Well, it's going to test the theory that anything Rochester will get us to watch, because this also sounds like it might be one of the most boring things ever. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Seabreeze Amusement Park is going to be featured in a documentary series, like a full episode, it seems like, coming up.
Like at amusement parks?
All right.
Well, like around the world?
Story on 13 Wham says the documentary will focus on trolley parks.
Trolley park.
So apparently Seabreeze is the oldest family-operated trolley park in America.
No kidding.
And apparently a trolley park is what amusement parks used to be. Like they were literal trolleys.
They were like stops on the trolley tracks.
You got it. Yes.
Okay.
So it's a trolley park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of old footage of Rochester.
Yeah, it's 150 years old. Well, it looks like it's going to be exclusively footage of
Seabreeze.
Yeah, but it's going to be pretty cool.
Okay. But I want you to listen to what I just told you again.
Yeah.
Could they call it something else?
No. No, they can't. It's a trolley park documentary. You're going to watch an hour that focused on Seabreeze involving 19th century American trolley parks.
I love trolleys. And when I'm on vacation, I never miss an opportunity to take a trolley.
Please tell me you're joking.
No, I'm not. What Even those fake trolleys that are actually buses, I always want to go on them.
Why?
You get to see everything.
You can see him in a car.
No, but the guy will tell you what's going on.
I never took you for a trolley guy.
Well, I didn't know trolley guys existed.
Oh, yeah.
Who says I'm excited to get on a trolley? Now you're on the trolley.
Like trolleys and trams, I'm in.
So, like the people mover at Disney World?
Oh, I love that thing.
Okay.
They have the monorail.
That thing scares the hell out of me, man. Really? You're hanging.
Oh, for God's sake.
You're hanging. You can feel it move in the wind.
It's been up there for 70 years.
It has crashed a couple of times.
No, it never crashed.
People have died on the people mover.
Nobody ever died on the monorail.
Google
How'd they die? They fall out the window?
Well, no. So, it happened.
They run over?
No, there was a crash that was so...
Get out of here. They had a head-on monorail crash.
Yes, yes, they did.
How do you do that? You're only on one rail.
Because it goes both ways, much like you and your mom.
All right.
Runs in the family.
It did. Two monorails at Disney World collided back in 2009.
How about I do a documentary about that? How many people?
Nobody died.
People it says died. Somebody killing one. Killing one and others were injured.
Oh, went right to the brain.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you were saying? And by the way, that's not the only incident.
I do not want to say anything any further.
Okay, good call. Thank you. So you're telling me you're going to sit down. Now, this is going to air on PBS. I don't have a date for it yet. You're going to sit down and watch 1 hour of a docuseries on 19th century American trolley
parks. Yeah, because they'll have all that old footage. And don't forget, this is photo town, so you know they got reels of this stuff.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the photos.
It has to be really cool.
Well, so credit to Seabreeze. They have done an unbelievable job of documenting their history.
Yeah.
Like, if you walk around Seabreeze, you see these photos that are 75, 100, 125, 150 years old. And it's cool to look at. But in between those photos, you're going to have some 80-year-old guy in, like, a houndstooth blazer, right? He's got his guts hanging over his belt. You see, in 1879, Woodrow Wilson, who was the Department of Transportation head at the time, decided to remove trolley regulations, which allowed for the trolley parks in America to blossom. And that's when the middle-class American finally had access.
Why is he getting so angry?
To entertainment. He's not. This is how he can't breathe. He's in his 80s. He's in his 80s, Tommy. You're going to sit through that?
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch
it. It was an economic boom for the working-class Americans. No longer did you have to spend your entire day at the Triangle Shirt Factory. On Sundays, you could take your family for a nickel down the trolley.
This is the kind of stuff that Tommy has to watch before his wife wakes up in the morning.
When she goes on vacation.
His early morning docs.
Like anything on steamboats, anything like that.
Why? What are you going going to learn about steamboats?
Like the old riverboats and all that stuff. What? Old gangster stuff?
That's fine. That's entertaining. That I get.
How many people are going to watch just to see if, like, a family member or somebody they know is spotted in the
background? Are you talking about Jedediah?
Of some of the footage.
Yeah, I think if you work
there. Stuff, too.
If you work there.
Yeah.
You're going to watch this to see if you made it in.
If you worked there in the 19th century,
no, but it's,
you've
but
been
it'll
dead
be
for
up
40
until
years.
Now.
Aren't they going to show like a montage of the entire
I'm
thing?
Sure
or
that
is it
they'll
just,
do the whole history, right?
Is it focused on one period?
All right, I'm going to read you a description. This is from the story on 32 AM. We're talking about this PBS docuseries. Seabreeze will be featured, it seems, in one of the episodes. Mm. For those who don't know, Seabreeze is the oldest continually running family-owned trolley park in America. They've been open for 150 years. Here's a quote. You ready? Seabreeze Amusement Park in Irondequoit will be featured in a documentary series looking at the evolution of recreational areas and their roots as trolley parks. So maybe it will have modern stuff. Okay. You get to see the gyrosphere.
Yes. Don't you ever, like, when you see those old documentaries, like on Coney Island?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They look so cool.
All of those fathers beat their kids. That's all I could think about
for
when
good
I watched
reason.
It. All I could think
now
about
listen.
Is, you look great in that straw hat now, but that poor kid when he got home. That's all I could think about is the horrible things those parents did to their, those fathers did to their wives and kids.
But that's the way
is
it
that
was.
Is that weird?
No, that was America.
That's not, what are you, John Mellencamp now? Hey, Dad, America.
Shut up, kid.
They do paint a, like, they'll show a happy picture of the family, be like, well, he was an alcoholic.
Yes! And you're
like,
yes!
Like, oh, okay, so maybe not quite, you know, the happiest of families.
Well, I don't think about stuff like that.
I don't know why.
No, sometimes
don't know
they'll
why.
Throw that in there. Yeah. It's not even like a secret.
This is Frank Y. Brown. He broke a record for most consecutive days to come down. He accidentally killed one of his kids when he threw him in a knapsack to teach him how to swim in Lake Ontario. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that.
There was a lot of death back then.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of death all the time.
But that's why they had to open up the amusement parks to take your mind off it for a few minutes.
Okay, so I'm looking at some of these old photos.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
are
very cool.
They are pretty remarkable. And what's great about Seabreeze, too, no matter where the photo is taken, it's such a unique footprint. You can tell where everything new is based on where old stuff was. And that's what's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can put yourself in these photos where you were at Seabreeze the last time. And I think it makes it more... It brings you back to that time better than
a
it would
more
just
connected.
Exactly.
They'll probably show like opening day, like when they first opened it up,
150 years ago.
Yeah,
would be 1875.
So right after the Civil War, right? 10 years out of the war.
Okay, I'm going to ask a stupid question. Were pictures that easy to take where you would have photos?
Well, I would imagine here in Rochester, it was probably more prominent than in other areas.
Yeah, because
based
we were
Kodak,
the,
you know.
When did Eastman Kodak open?
Probably wrong, but I mean.
I think 1875 might be pre-Kodak.
Oh, wow.
Maybe? Right? Because that was like right around
1881.
Yeah. Oh. So it would have been that. I mean, think about that.
Right.
Seabreeze has seen the birth, rise, destruction, and disappearance of Kodak as a world industrial power.
Yeah.
And it's still here, and people still fill that place up
every
weekend.
How cool is that?
I mean, no, that is cool. I would sit and watch a documentary about the beginning up until this point of Seabreeze. That would be very
interesting. Well, that's kind of what you're getting.
No, you're getting
something
a documentary
about the way they call it, the trolley.
Coming on down the trolley park. See, what you don't understand is the axle grease used in 1901 affected deeply the working class society's ability to get to the trolley park.
That's what axle grease was, axle grease.
Stephen F. Austin, who developed that axle grease, who accidentally lobbed off one of his son's arms.
Because he wouldn't listen. I heard he beat him with that severed arm. Stabbed that boy to death with his own hand.
Here's the thing, man. I'm probably gonna watch this too, just because we've talked about.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna be disappointed if there's not an 80-year-old fat man in glasses and a houndstooth coat
PBS.
That talks just like that. Yeah. Well, here's the thing about PBS too. Not to sound like an old man.
Right.
I love PBS.
They do really good documentaries.
They absolutely.
I mean, Ken Burns, man, he's the man.
Okay, now thank you for taking the old man back from me.
What?
Ken Burns, interesting documentarian. His great grandfather murdered a man by accident. No, but like, all right, I love Antiques Roadshow.
Which is basically the same thing. It's old crap in a barn.
Well, but no, here's what I love about Antiques Roadshow, and it makes me a bad person.
What?
For those who are unfamiliar with Antiques Roadshow, they have this traveling thing where they have like experts on antiques, all kinds of antiques.
And you bring your crap down.
Yes, they go to specific cities, and people bring these things in that they think are valuable. And the way they sell the show to you is these folks don't know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's these family heirlooms, and they tell them the history behind it, and it's actually worth like $50,000. Right. And these people are like, oh, my God, oh, my God. But every once in a while, they throw one in where you get some smug dick.
Yeah.
And he walks in, and he's like, well, this is from my family in 1855. And the expert's like, no, actually, your family lied to you. This is not going to pay for your kid's college. Ooh. It's worth $7.
You got junk.
I watch every episode I can. For that one episode where I get to watch that idiot who's like, no, you don't understand. And then they'll argue with the antiques expert like they haven't dedicated their life to this thing.
That's pretty good.
I watch Antiques Roadshow out of spite.
So how are you not watching this?
Because there's no spite involved.
There'll be...
Except for James J. Spite, who was the trolley car operator, brought his son one day to work. Kid fell off of the trolley and was split in half. There's a photo taken by George Eastman, pre-Eastman Kodak. Let's take a break.
All right.
No, you are
ruined that for everybody.
Well, no, I'm sorry. It's going to be much.
No,
more...
there's always a dead kid involved.
Oh my God!
There just is, man. Like if you see like a family of like 12, well, they lost four of them, and that's before they got out of the hospital. And mother ate one.
Not even a reason to, just to see what he tasted like.
She's just a bitch.
We have her journal entry. I wonder what Steven tastes like.
With some delicious potatoes and carrots.
It's weird. Oh, she sounds like FDR.
Who would wish I could walk, but my mother ate my legs, so they don't walk no more.
There's no coming back.
No, we couldn't come back 5 minutes ago. We're very past that.